A tale of two halves, yet again. After leading 13-10 at halftime, the Jags couldn't hang in the second half. They fell to a record of 2-11, a 27-13 loss to the Texans Sunday at Everbank Field. And welcome to Inside the Jaguars, J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Lagerman. Let's get to it. The tale of two halves bites again. Well, at 13-10 at halftime, three scoring drives in a row for Houston to start the second half. Not so much for the Jaguars.
Well, you talk about the tale of two halves, kind of the opposite of the New York Giants game, right? You know, and you've got the first possession to start the second half, and you end up having six plays in a punt. The Texans take it down and score. The next possession offensively, you throw an interception. Texans take it down and score, and then you have four plays in a punt, and then the Texans get a field goal. You know, you've got to be able to have more production offensively in the second half.
How about the defense? You know, last week it was scoring plays and sacks and fumble recoveries.
Well, you go back to the last 2 weeks. Yeah. I mean, the last 2 weeks defensively they had like 9 sacks, 6 forced fumbles, 4 fumble recoveries, and it gave the offense a lot of opportunities. You know, offensively, I don't think they're good enough, you know, unless they get extra opportunities. And defensively, you're counting on them to be able to provide a boost. And they didn't really provide a boost against the Texans. Now, I give the Texans credit now. Their offensive line is good, and they've got probably one of the best backs in the National Football League. Aaron Foster is an elite player.
127 yards and a touchdown for Foster.
And he controlled the tempo. You know, he really controlled the tempo. He had a lot of breaks in the ball game for their draft pick. Blue came in. But when Arian Foster was in the game, you could tell he is a difference maker.
Let's go back to the Jags offense now. Blake Bortles, that's everybody's watching his progression the final month of the season here to see how he gets better. Well, how did he get better yesterday?
Well, the one thing, that the sign that I saw, because if you look at him statistically, I don't think he got better. But if you look at the way he played loose, he started to try to create things like he did early on in the season. I think he got a little bit mechanical over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I think he kind of came out of that. But he still has to get better. Some of the routine throws have to be made, but also his receivers have to catch some of those balls that were there.
Yeah, that was an issue certainly for Cecil Shorts, the third.
Well, and that was one of those drives we talked about there at the second half. I mean, you had a third down opportunity. If Cecil catches that ball, all of a sudden he's got 20, 30-yard gain maybe. You know, and you keep the drive alive, maybe you score points out of that. You got to make the catch.
Bortles didn't have a lot of time at times back in the pocket either. There's a guy named J.J. Watt on the other side. You might have heard of him.
He's pretty good.
3 sacks, a handful of quarterback hurries, 5 in the game for Watt yesterday. So a lot of focus on the offensive line again this week. How did they play overall? How did Watt play against them?
Well, let's start with Watt. You know, he had 3 sacks in the ball game. 2 of them were just because he had outstanding effort, and he chased the play down. One of them was what Tony Boselli termed a legitimate sack to where he beat Sam Young. Overall, I thought the offensive line got better. I thought the protection was pretty solid. I think there were some instances where Blake Bortles could have stayed in the pocket a little bit longer, and he could have made better decisions. You know, pass protection always gets, you know, the blame goes on the offensive line, and that's not always the case. Sometimes it's the running back, sometimes it's the wide receiver with correct routes, and sometimes it's on the quarterback. But I thought the offensive line got a little bit better.
Well, you know, to have a plan for the future, you have to stick with the plan. That's in football, too. Senior correspondent Brian Sexton has more.
Monday mornings at 5:30, you'll find me at Atlantic Beach Performance, win or lose. I have more energy for the workout after the Jags win because no one bends my ear about why the Jaguars stink for the entire hour. This morning, though, one very nice gentleman asked in a very nice way how long he was going to have to watch this team lose. I was out of breath from the sliders, which are killers if you've never done them. But off the cuff came what I thought was a very clever answer. I told him I wanted to quit halfway through the 60-second slider intervals. They're brutal and it hurts. But I know that if I keep going, then get up and move on to the next station, I'll see results. If I quit, well, I'm going to look at myself in the mirror and really be upset. Same thing with what Dave and Gus are doing at Everbank. This team was in bad shape when they arrived, and they developed a plan to get it into shape, so to speak. But if they quit when it hurts, they're not going to get anywhere. They believe in what they're doing, and they need a few more players. But right now, they're grinding through the pain and preparing for the next station. There's no other way. If they quit, they'll be looking in that mirror, and they won't be able to blame their problems on all the Christmas cookies like I can, guys.
Yes, Jeff, you and I both like Christmas cookies.
Sugar Christmas cookies.
That's for sure. Who do you have tonight on All Access?
We got Marquise Lee. You know, I think he's had 3 outstanding weeks to where he's kind of gotten a little bit of feel for the offense. Five catches in the game yesterday. I wanted to see more targets to him, and especially on that 4th and 20, to where Blake Bortles threw it underneath. I mean, that's an opportunity there for Blake Bortles to throw it up and let Marquise Lee make a play like he did early in the ballgame.
That's tonight at 7, Channel 4. Sam Kavaris, this guy, and Marquise Lee. Gus Bradley scheduled to speak to the media today at 2:30. The locker room will be open as well. We'll have all the coverage right here on Jaguars.com. And that's it for today on Inside the Jaguars.